My dad is with my mom right now. She's recovering from having surgery today. So, it's something minor, not really that, not too bad. So, just pray for my mom. She's recuperating. And, so turn your Bibles to the book of James, chapter 3. Many people couldn't make it out tonight because of the snow, and I understand. And we're thankful for all of you guys who are watching and being faithful to the Lord through that. So James chapter 3. We read the whole chapter. It's not too long. James chapter 3, verse number 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a rod of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of bird and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and wherewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Doth the fountain send forth at the same time place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. The wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be instead, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Wow, what a chapter. What a jam-packed chapter that we have here from James. And if you haven't been able to tell or read that chapter, obviously James is talking here about the tongue. And the tongue can be a very dangerous thing, but the tongue can also be a great thing. Something that he mentions here is that it can be a blessing and it can be a curse. And the tongue oftentimes gets us into a lot of trouble. We can get into a lot of trouble with the things that we say. I remember when I was in high school and I was going to the Christian school for the first year, I knew that my school had just won the football championship. And so, you know, riding high on that, I was riding into school with the mentality of, hey, we're going to win again. And so me and all my infinite wisdom and pride, I started trash-talking the other team. I remember calling out their players and saying I was better than them. I would call myself the best wide receiver in the league. And I was just talking so much smack, and as an 11th grader, I was just being dumb. So honestly, in football that year, I had a great year. I was playing great. I had a lot of interceptions. I had a lot of catches, touchdowns. I was doing really good. And I was thinking, as we're going to the championship game, we're going to win again. We're going to back-to-back. I came into school here. I'm taking this league by storm. And I just had so much pride built up with me. And I trash-talked so much. So the championship game happened. And now that whole year on defense, I was pretty good. I did not allow a single touchdown. And I was holding people. Nobody could get a touchdown against me. So do you know what happens at a championship game? You know what happens? I mess up. I read the play wrong, and the guy threw the ball over me. The guy caught up a touchdown, and that ended up being the difference of the game. And they Now, the other team that I was trash-talking so much, and they won. But you know what? They remembered me. They remembered the things I said. I remember one of their players, so I'm good friends with now. But he would like kind of bug me about that. Hey, you remember when you said this and this and look who won now? I'm like, all right, I get it. The tongue can be a very dangerous thing. We can get ourselves into a lot of trouble, especially, you know, growing up. You can have all the sass and the bad talk to your mom and to your dad, and you know they're gonna get a beating as soon as they start bad talking. Anyway, the tongue can be very dangerous thing. James uses three illustrations here to portray the power of the tongue. The first thing we're going to look at, which is in verses 3 through 4, is it has the power to direct the bit and rudder. All right, so what does that mean? The word helm in verse 4 means is a rudder from a ship. The part of the ship that steers through the water. We often think that our words are unimportant. And sometimes we kind of say things to people that we think are no big deal at the time, but then we come back to realize, man, that actually hurt that person, those words. And so our words steer. But the wrong word can direct the listener into the wrong path. We think that they're so important, and we'll say a joke here, or we'll make fun of that person there, or we have a snotty comment there, and it can put somebody down a wrong path in life because of just of our words, our tongues, our lies that we say to people. An idle word, a questionable story, a half-truth, or just a deliberate lie can change the course of a life. So we have to be very, very careful with our tongue. And then it says in verse 3 to 4, talks about the horse as well. It says that just as the horse needs a guide and the rider needs a pilot, it's important to know that our tongue needs to be controlled by somebody from above. That we don't have this power to control our tongue because our heart is wicked. It's not our flesh is the flesh. It's not a good thing. It corrupts us. We have to be Holy Spirit filled. Well, when we're saved, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit within us. We have, when we teach the kids in Sunday school, we say you have Jesus in your heart. And Jesus is working in you. And Jesus can change your life. And he can help you as you grow up and be a good man, a good woman for God, and live a good life here on earth. Well, also, when we're saved, as we're growing as a Christian, we should be asking the Lord every single day to help us and to guide us each day. And we don't know, the words of our tongue can hurt somebody so much that person who isn't saved, who isn't a Christian, why would that person want to be saved to grow as a Christian, come to Gospel Baptist Church or whatever church you go to? And if you, the Christian, the person who's supposed to be a little Christ, somebody who's supposed to represent the kingdom above, you're an ambassador here on earth, if your tongue is something that can't be trusted. Our tongue has the power to direct a person's life. And that's very true. We could hurt our testimony by the way we talk to people. We need to be careful of how we use our tongue because it can direct people's lives. So first off, our tongue has the power to direct. And the Bible uses the bit and the rudder here in verses 3 through 4. And secondly, it has the power to destroy. It talks about here in verses 5 through 8 with a fiery animal. Verse 5 says, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Now, verse 5, look at that first phrase. It says, even so the tongue is a little member. Compare our tongue to the rest of our body, right? It says the members of our body. It's such a tiny thing, our tongue. Size does not determine value or power. A small thing, a little fire. If I were to set up a little flame here, it's a little flame, and I were to put it down this carpet or against this wood, and the church could be on fire easily. It's a little fire. It's a little thing that catches on fire. can consume this entire building with just a little flame. And it says that our tongue, being such a small member of our body, can destroy a human being, can destroy a person's life. Turn to Proverbs chapter 16. Keep your finger here. Keep your New Gospel Baptist Church bookmark here in James. And you can turn to Proverbs 16. Did you get one, Miss Ira? A bookmark? You got one too, Evan, right? Are you holding it? Abby, you got yours? All right. I know Sarah has hers. She better have hers. Proverbs 16, verse 27. Proverbs 16, 27. An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is a burning fire. And how our tongue loves to boast about ourselves. Our tongue likes to talk about what we can do, our tongue can be, in verse number 5, it says that the tongue is a little member, right? It says, and boasteth a great thing. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. You know, if we talk about ourselves so much, you ever know somebody who talks about themselves so much? It's kind of annoying, isn't it? That person's always talking about their accomplishments. If I go and say, here's a story of, I'm trying to think right now, something I said to somebody. Friends, I had this one friend. I won't say his name. I had this friend who I could say, hey, I was playing basketball and I made 8 shots. But that person said, oh yeah, well one time I was playing and I made 10 shots. You always know that person who just loves to boast about themselves. And I'm the type of person, I'm just like, alright, whatever. And I leave it alone. I'll say, I chipped my tooth, and they'll be like, oh, I chipped my teeth. Like if someone's got a bigger story. If I say, oh man, I sprained my ankle, that person goes off with, oh, one time I fell down and this log fell. I'm like, I've heard the craziest stories. And people love to boast about themselves. And the Bible knows that. James knows this when he's writing in James chapter 3, verse 5. He says, our tongue boasteth great things. Now, we all love to talk great things about ourselves. I was doing it again in the service about my football. But we like to talk ourselves up. But wouldn't it be such a better thing if we were to stop talking about ourselves a little bit less and just start talking about, you know, how are you doing? You know, how is your day? Tell me what's going on in your life. As opposed to, well, let me tell you about my day, brother. I had just the roughest week, man. There was snow everywhere. And we kind of go off in this temper tantrum, like this selfish thing where it's, I got to talk about what's happening with me. And, of course, we're going to lose friends. Who wants to be with somebody who always wants to talk about themselves? And that's important as our Christian testimony that we have this thing that, man, we care for others. What was Jesus' greatest commandment? Love your neighbor. It's hard to love your neighbor if you're loving yourself too much more than the other person next to you. We have to be careful with our tongue. A little flame can set a whole forest on fire. The tongue is a flame. It can, through lies and gossip and heated words, set a family or church on fire. I can tell you many stories being a pastor's kid here in this church, and even I have many friends who are pastor's kids, people in other churches who say negative things about other church members, and they'll go behind their back and they'll gossip about that person and this person, and it sets the whole church on fire. There'll be a church split. And there's an uneasiness in the church. We don't have that unity that we're supposed to have in Christ that we have here in church and with Jesus. And that can set a whole church on fire. Now, we want to be on fire for Jesus in a good way, but also our tongue can set the church on fire in a negative way, where we're causing division and strife between members and even in our youth group and in certain things. And we just need to be careful with what we say because we don't know who's listening and who can hear it. Now, our heart is wicked, and we think bad things. We need to be careful to maintain that thing, our thoughts, and to have the Lord control our lives. Now, Proverbs, keep your bookmark again here in Proverbs and James, and turn to Proverbs 12 again. I'm going to have a couple of verses we're going to be looking at in Proverbs tonight. Proverbs, the book on wisdom, a great book, encouraging book. You should read a proverb every day. It's good. Proverbs 12, verse number 18. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. So there's people who can hurt their mouth, their tongue, like a sword. But the tongue of the wise is health. Can we go back to James? The tongue of the wise is health. Now, we all know, at the same time, we always know that negative person. But we know that positive person, too. I have a friend in college, a really good friend. He was my roommate for a year, too. And he was a great encouragement to me. I'd be like, hey, Sean, you know, man, I just had a rough... Because we used to work together at Chick-fil-A. And so, man, tonight was a rough night at Chick-fil-A, huh? And goes, well, he always says something positive. He's like, well, we could praise the Lord. I'd be like, hey, Sean, I like that shirt. Praise the Lord. And that was like his thing of saying praise the Lord literally to everything. I'd be like, hey, Sean, your shoes are untied. Praise the Lord. I'd be like, all right, Sean. And I love Sean. He's a great guy. And but he was just always so positive and always so encouraging. And you could tell that even when he was in the dumps at college, when he was just feeling low and sad and maybe depressed about what's going on in college, his life or whatnot, he was always being an encouragement to somebody else. You know what? When you're down and being, you're emotionally distraught, when you help somebody and encourage somebody, man, that helps not only that person, but it helps yourself. It's encouraging to yourself when you encourage somebody else. It's good to see somebody else happy because you made them happy. There is something wrong with the heart when the tongue is inconsistent. We have a heart problem. If our tongue is, we can't tame our tongue. If we're going to be Mr. Positive one guy, and the next day we're being Mr. Negative, we're being Mr. We're speaking down, we're hurting somebody with our words. And when we notice that inconsistency, man, that's a heart problem. That's something wrong with our heart. I mean, I've been so guilty of that myself, and if I have such a problem with my tongue and my heart, I have to ask the Lord for wisdom every day, because at the moment of silence, I can slip up. I am not perfect at all. Preaching this message and even writing this message was so convicting because I'm like, man, can I preach this? Am I worthy to preach this message? But God wanted me to preach it. But there has to be that consistency of asking the Lord to help you. And I know it can be rough to ask the Lord. I want to phrase this correctly. We want to spend time with the Lord every morning. We want to spend time, quality time with God. And, you know, one of my friends at work, he's a Catholic. But he told me that when he goes to work, he travels about the same distance I do, about 30 minutes. And he says that he doesn't even put the radio on. He just prays. And he's a Catholic. I mean, that convicted me so much, because I'm used to put on the radio and just listen to music, or I'm listening to a podcast. I'm just listening to that and trying to get the time to go by. And man, that convicted me that this guy is he's not, you know, I don't know his heart if he's saved or not, but he said that he's a Catholic. And man, that convicted me. If he's acting that way, I should be acting that way. And that had a hold on me, because not every morning, you know, we wake up at the time we want. We, you know, sometimes our schedule in the morning sometimes can be so crazy, and we wake up like 5 minutes too late and it sets the whole schedule off. So we're running around the house trying to get ready. And man, I know that struggle. I've done it my whole life. And we don't always have the time to necessarily go down on our knees every morning and pray and read the Bible for an hour. Especially if you have to wake up extremely early, it's even more difficult. But we have to set that time alone with God. And one of my problems is that I'm more energetic at nighttime, and I got more energy at night. And so that's when I read the Bible. It's hard to claim victory for the day and ask the Lord for wisdom for the day when the day is about over. We need to ask the Lord for wisdom in the morning. David said that early in the morning, he sought the Lord. He wanted to have wisdom and fellowship with God in the morning. We have to make time. If our schedule is too busy for God, then we shouldn't throw God out the window. We should do something differently with our schedule. God should be of the utmost importance. So our walk with God has to be consistent. That helps us with our controlling of the tongue. So the tongue has the power to direct and the power to destroy. But it has power to delight. James chapter 3, verse number 9. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men which I made after the similitude of God? Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Doth the fountain send forth at the same time place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. It's impossible for something to produce fresh water and salt water. The other day I was having a really bad toothache. And so I was looking up all recipes online. How do I home? Because I couldn't go to the store or anything. It was snowing out. And it was just, it was unbearable, really. And so I looked it up online, like, what are some home remedies I could do to make my teeth better? I even called my mom. She didn't even know anything. Just had to go to Google. And first thing that popped up was salt water. So then, of course, I asked Sarah to make me a cup of salt water. And I swished it, and it was nasty and horrible. And but you know, once Sarah made the cup of water with the Brita filtered water, amen, and then she put the salt in there, it was no longer good. It didn't longer taste good. Even when it just touched my tongue, at the same time, you could tell there was a difference. And you can't have those two things be separate. Once one goes into the other, it contaminates. And the Bible compares that to here, right here. And when you plant, my dad's a gardener now. He got into this habit 4 or 5 years ago, and it's kind of random, right, Evan? He just all of a sudden started gardening, and hopefully he's watching this so he can get on me later. But, you know, it'd be a bad thing for my dad to have what does he plant? Cucumbers, right? Cucumbers, tomatoes. It'd be a bad thing if my dad were to put a cucumber seed, I think it's a seed, and put it into the ground and waters it. Next thing you know, a pumpkin pops up. He'd be like, whoa, what's wrong with that cucumber seed? That's not supposed to happen. When you plant something, a cucumber, you expect a cucumber. And the Bible is using that right here as in verse number 12, can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? And James is saying, like, no, that can't happen. And he's trying to make this illustration here, James. He's trying to say that it is impossible to both speak blessing and cursing. And this is where it really hits home, is how often we bless God in our praying and in our outward appearance and our singing. We can come here, we can sing, we can dress, right? We can be ushers, we can play the piano, we can do the sound system, we can do all these ministries here, nursery, Sunday school. And man, we look like we're being good Christians, we're blessing God, we're praying, we're singing. But then at the same time, we know that there is anger in our heart, there's impatience in our heart. And our heart is just being wicked. We're playing like this double life. We're being double standard. And that's not good. That's what James is trying to say here, is that you can't be both. And in the book of Matthew, it says you either serve God or you serve mammon. You've got to choose God or the world. You can only serve both for so long before you just grow tired, and then you got to go to pick the one. And most times, because we're big in our flesh to begin with, we're just going to choose the world because that's the easier thing to do. But man, we're in a spiritual warfare. We're supposed to choose the things of God. Turn your Bibles to the book of Proverbs again. We're done with James tonight. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse number 2. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressors shall eat violence. Turn now over to chapter 18 of Proverbs. Verse 20. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and he that loveth shall eat the fruit thereof. Now, the verse that we read there is talking about what I was talking about before, that inconsistency. And we have to decide and to choose that we are going to have the fruit of our lips. The fruit of our lips are going to be spiritual if we follow the Bible. And we'll do the right things if we do that. And I'll turn over to Psalm 141. Closing it up here. Psalm 141. Psalm 141. After hearing this sermon and hearing these things, we know that we have to have God control our life, that to be Holy Spirit filled. Not just be indwelled, but fulfilled and have Him control our life. And it'd be an awful thing for Satan to control our life. Psalm 141, verse 1. Lord, I cry unto Thee. Make haste unto me. Give ear unto my voice when I cry unto Thee. Let my prayer be set forth before Thee as incense, and the lifting up my hands as the evening sacrifice. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work in iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainties. We need to make Psalm 141, 1 through 4, our constant prayer. To have God control our life, and not to be controlled, not have our heart inclined, the Bible says, to evil things. To have God control our life. So the three things that we look at tonight is that our tongue has a power to direct the bit and the rudder, right? It directs people. It directs us, our family, our loved ones. It has the power to destroy. We saw that with the fire. And our tongue has the power to delight. And we saw that with the fountain and tree. And so it's an important reminder of, man, we need to be careful with our tongue. That's the things we say, the things that we say under our breath. You need to be careful. We're Christians. And although this is not our home, and our home is in heaven, we need people to see Jesus in us every single day. And to know that, hey, that person is an honest person. That person doesn't curse, but that person's different. Why is that person different? And somebody could tell you're different just by the way you talk, just by the way you act. You don't necessarily say, Hi, my name is Ethan, and I'm a Christian. You don't need to have that badge on you. People can tell it's by the way you carry yourself, the way you act, and most times the way you just talk. If you talk a certain way, and you don't act on the road that thing, they're going to know there's a difference in you. And then we ought to be that. And even in our Christian environments, man, we need more spiritual leaders. And we can't have spiritual leaders and heroes of our generation if we're too busy acting like the world. So we have to be instant, in season, and out of season. When we're going through something rough, when something bad happens to us, and when something amazing happening, keep our tongue tamed. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank You for this day. Thank You for the Bible. I thank You, Lord, for how powerful it is and how relevant it is to this day and time. Lord, Your truth always will stand forever, God. And I pray that You help our church, Lord. I pray that don't be any fire started in our church with people gossiping and with the tongue. But most importantly, Lord, as we go out into our community, I pray that the people will know there's a difference with us, with even just by the way we talk, our tongue. God, help us, Lord, to be more like You, to be Christ-like, to be loving and kind, to love our neighbor as ourselves, dear God. We love You and we thank You. We pray all this in Your holy and precious name. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to our live service. I pray that it was a blessing to you. I want to ask you a question. Are you 100% sure if you were to die today, you would go to heaven? If your answer is no, maybe so, or I don't know, I want to tell you that the Bible tells us that we can be 100% sure. If we look at Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So firstly, the Bible tells us that we are all sinners. You and me both. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." So secondly, the Bible tells us that the wages or the punishment of sin is eternal death, is eternal hell. The same verse, Romans chapter 6, 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So thirdly, the Bible tells us that salvation is eternal life is through Jesus Christ our Lord. It doesn't say that it's through being a good person or through good works. It's through Jesus Christ who paid the wages for our sin. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God is raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So lastly, the Bible tells us that we shall be saved. Thou shalt be saved. It doesn't say that we might be saved, or God doesn't say, I'll think about saving you. It says, thou shalt be saved. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So it's that simple, my friend. So I pray that nobody that's watched this live stream service goes to sleep tonight without knowing their eternal destination, without knowing that they're 100% sure whether they're going to heaven or not. If you're still unsure, please feel free to reach out to us. God bless you.